The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back. Lord knows they'll try to silence our voices.
I need your love.
Second hour of the Gathering Offering, and I do not apologize for having a different name than National Intel Report. That belonged to John Stadtmiller. It is my opinion. May not be worth 2 cents. There are other guest host or hosts that have some other slots that have during this particular 5 to 7 p.m. Central Time, and they have their 2 hours. Nobody ever said anything about a policy. However, I do want to finish up just before we get to Lauren in Michigan. It tells you in Genesis chapter 1, and he, being the only begotten son, shall be called Emmanuel. That means, when you look it up, man is from the sun. Sun did the physical creation. 2 sentences later, Joseph says, Mary's supposed husband, says, I'm going to call him Jesus. Well, why don't you just jump back a half a page and look at the genealogy of Joseph. Keep going, keep studying every single one of them, and you get to Solomon. And Solomon's mom was a princess of the Pharisee Sadducees. And her daddy was the head of the Pharisee Sadducees. They changed their names by that time. And her grandpa was the head of the Pharisee Sadducees. He, Joseph, gave the name Jesus because he wanted him to be known as a Jebus of the city of Jebus, J-E-B-U-S. He wanted to mislead everybody. Right there, first page of the New Testament. Do your homework and find out why Joseph had other children with Mary and another wife, and he matched certain names that are used in the Bible. And you have to go back and track those particular individuals, track their genealogy. Anyway, Lauren from Michigan, are you there, young lady?
Yeah, I'm here, Jerry. I just had a comment and then a question. My comment is, that song really
makes
me sad.
Well, I'm not sure if Lauren dropped or...
So it's Laura right here. I'm here.
Yes, hi.
Hello,
how are you doing, young lady?
Good.
How are you doing today?
I just want to make a comment and a question. My comment is, that song really makes me sad. As a recent widow, a person who's been married to one man for 47 years. That song really hits
okay.
me, you know?
Well,
my question is...
May I make a comment about that?
Well, just not too many people make it 47 years anymore.
Oh, I would agree with that 100%. But I'd like to add
okay.
this to you. I'd like to add this to your thinking. Never in my life, at any time in my life, with any individual, have I ever been sad at their passing. And nobody could understand that about me. I looked at a passing all my life as that's when the Father wanted that individual to pass. And, you know, I never felt sorry. I never had the first tear in my eye ever. And people would ask me about that. And I would just say, that man or that woman did everything they could, and it was their time. And so I'm not going to be upset by what the Father wants. Can I treasure, if I had 40 years of marriage with someone and they passed, I can treasure that a lot, but I'm not sad. Because everybody lives to a certain exact second. And I'm not going to be upset because the Father has said, time to go.
I think that's true. My husband died on his birthday. And
yeah.
I had gotten a message that said he would be with his mother, who passed away when he was a baby, that he would be with his mother on his birthday. So,
well, you know, and maybe that happened, you know, the way that you think it did. And, you know, all you have to do is accept the fact that it's not what you or I want. It's what the Father wants. And that's what's
right.
so difficult for so many people. Okay.
Yeah. So my question is, are the Canaanites, are they offspring of Cain?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I thought so.
And in Genesis,
they used to call
them
Kenites. I got confused because they used to say Kenites.
Canaanites, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in Genesis, you see mankind, not man, mankind, okay? And then you
yeah.
see the man of breath, and then you have Canaanites. And before you go more than like four chapters, Cain went out and built cities. Now
right.
That crams people in together. And if you take a look at our cities, you know, our big cities in particular, look at the outrageous amount of crime that goes on, every level you can think about. And they can't
right.
stop it. And when you force people off the land, which his people were supposed to be agrarian, in other words, they grew what they needed. They didn't have electric saws and gas-powered saws. They did it by hand. And it gave you a sense of worth. Because when you got done with a good 12-hour day or 8-hour day, whatever it was, I got this much done. You weren't relying on electricity or gasoline or all modern things. You weren't being distracted by all the electrical stuff. And it tells you very clearly in the book of Revelations, and they shall be deceived by miracles of light. When you study that word light right there, it is electricity, and that's how we're being deceived, because of all the fancy computers and this, that, and the other, and instant reporting, and there's one crisis after another crisis.
Did you ever cover everybody says that they took a rib out of Adam and put it in Eve, but the word actually was supposed to be curve. So curve, as we found out 2,000 years later, was actually the double helix curve. He took genes from Adam and put them into the woman.
Well, that particular process is rather complex with the human body of how that was done. The big thing that I read in there is the fact that Eve was visited by the snake, you know, called the snake, and she had sex with that bad angel. That's what it was. Adam found out, and he ran in real quick and jumped in bed with Eve instead of following the father's law, which would have been she committed adultery. What happens when that does? But he loved Eve so much because she was a comforter to him. He ignored it. And so Cain grew up and he slew Abel. And, you know, that's where we're at still doing today. Bad guys trying to kill the good guys. And it's very, very interesting. Most people do not want to use the term mankind. They just want to say man. Because they haven't even studied, was the word human being used in the foundation times of this country? No, it wasn't. It was only developed in the 1500s by the kings and the queens and the princes and all those people at the order of the Vatican to start using the word humanitarian. The word human doesn't occur in the Samuel Johnson Dictionary. And that was a dictionary used for 20 years before the Constitution and 20 years after the Constitution for legal definitions. The closest it comes is to the word hue, H-U-E, and that has two definitions, color and depth. But yet when you tell people you should not be using the term human, because human is defined as having qualities of mankind. It does not say it has all of the qualities of mankind. You see how they slip these words through? And if you're going into a courtroom in our country, I assume others' countries, that's how you win cases, by pointing out the fact that this doesn't say man is the same thing as mankind. If it did, why didn't they just say, humans have all the exact same things as mankind? That's not what they do. They say man has some of the qualities of mankind. And you have to delve into breaking down sentences when you're studying as to what that comma means, what that semicolon, what that colon means. And every understanding, every nuance of a word. And that's what you have to do if you want to get into, you know, in-depth coverage of what something says. I don't know if that helps or not, Laura.
Okay, good. Well, thanks for taking my call.
Well, thank you, young lady, and put it down this way. 47 years is a long time to have a partner that it sounds like you very much respected and honored him. I'm sure you had love, too,
yes.
But, you know, respect and honor is the main thing, marriage going for a long time.
Yes, that's right. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate it. So here I am talking about minutia to most people, a little minor item. A minor item can change everything in a fight, say a hand-to-hand fight. A little bitty item in a hand-to-hand fight can just take a little tweak, just like that quick, and just touch them with a certain degree of strength or power, and making a quick mental decision, do I want to come across the eyeball and take out the eyeball, which is one little 2-second item. Or do maybe I just want to just come across his nostril? And people say, well, what are you doing? You're talking about fighting. Yes, I am talking about fighting. And there are certain things that I never did when I was in a fight. I never put my fist up. You know, you see people doing this. I never pushed anybody in their chest. Every single individual that ever pushed me in the chest, I was just like smiling a little bit, had my hands to the side. And guess what happened? When they pushed me, they went backwards. As I learned at a very young age, at about a half a second before they touch me, I will move forward a half an inch. And that knocks them backwards. So there is minute things that you do have to look at. But right now, what I'm trying to do is get people to understand the Father's law is the only law that has any validity. It tells you very clearly, you cannot serve God and mammon. Now, yeah, they put the word God in there, which if you read it from right to left, that's calling him dog. Terrible thing when it tells you very clearly, call no man father save he that's in heaven. That's the term I use, father. I also am aware of the fact that no man on this planet or woman, there's a verse that says, none of them know the true name of the Father. I've hunted that. I found something in the book of Enoch and in Jubilees. And it says the Ancient of Time. Now, that means there was no time, you know, like so many seconds in a minute, and so many minutes in an hour. So time didn't exist because the Father's Ancient of Time. By the same token, his only begotten Son is known as the Ancient of Times. Time was invented, created, whatever term you want to use, as soon as the Father said, oop, let the only begotten Son be here. So that's when time, there. Now, with the only begotten Son, if you go into the Old Testament, you'll find a conversation where a good guy is talking to someone. It's just a voice. And that guy says, who are you? And he says, I am the I am that I am. I am the I am that I am. Okay? Now, if you get into the New Testament, you'll see where the only begotten Son says on a constant basis, I am thee. And he's this, he's this, he's this, he's this, all kinds of different things. I am the. And he says, so you get a repeat. Of I am that I am. Okay? But he explains to you the I ams. Not all of them, I'm sure, but dozens. Dozens. So we don't even actually know, except to call him the only begotten Son of the Father. But we damn sure know not to insult him and call him a Jebusite. You know, that we do know. But it is so difficult, and I understand this. When all your life, everything you've heard, Jesus, 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 and I've heard dozens of preachers stand up and say, just say Jesus and you're saved. I don't think that's the way it works at all. If it did, how come I'm not in heaven right now? And did I make that mistake of calling in Jesus? Well, at times I make a mistake and I go, oh, Jesus, you know, I just smashed my finger with a hammer or something. Come and take it. I say that in a negative tone, not about the only begotten Son. Commercial break. Thank you.
You'll have to pry from our cold, dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us. So you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it. One shot at a time.
standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, sierramadreprecious metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
My darling, I've hungered for your touch. Are you still mine? I need your love. I need your love. Godspeed your love.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Mike told me that Marcus from Idaho is on the line or available. Welcome, Marcus. Are you here? Mike, have we got Marcus?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here, sir.
Okay, Marcus, what's on your mind today?
Yeah. Well, first I'd offer condolences to the lady who called before me. Condolences are always for the people who are living, not for the people who passed on and that may be in God's kingdom now, enjoying their eternal body. I don't know that, but that's my hope.
Well, it's my hope that I don't have a hope. I know for a fact that every single individual that's supposed to make it back to heaven will make it. How we make it is...
Right. But the time that Jesus is going to call the people back to, and the individuals, the souls back to heaven, is up for debate, because it might be after he comes back down. So that's why I say I hope.
Well, I have a difference of opinion there. He returns with his 144,000 warriors after the two prophets are dead in the streets of Jerusalem, and they lay there for 3 days and three nights. Now, all of his people that make it this trip, they're going to get dead before that happens. And then after that happens, then the only begotten son comes back with his army, and then he starts kicking tail, and he's going to rule for a millennium. I suggest that a millennium in his terminology is 1,300 years, not 1,000 years, by studying the time. And that puts a new light on things, because I have said many times in the past, if I happen to see the two prophets laying dead in the streets of Jerusalem, and the whole world rejoices about that, I'll fall on the ground, start crying, get into a fetal position, be moaning and groaning like a dog is being beat with a metal rod, because that means I missed it this trip. Maybe I'll make it next trip. I want to make it this trip. I want to stand beside other men and women, knowing that it tells us in the book that one of us will defeat 10, and 10 of us will take and defeat 100. And all of us.
Yes, but the 144,000 are the elect. Those are, you've got an elect from thousands of years. Those are very special persons. I would love to be counted in that group, but I'm not saying that I have any worthiness to be able to be counted in that group. That's a
never sell
thing.
Yourself short. Always look for the positive side, and maybe you'll be able to find five or six or seven people that will turn.
I want to bring up one thing that I've found, which is really important. This is an old hymn that the Baptist Church used to sing, and they don't anymore. And it's such a beautiful thing. It's called "Why Should I Worry? Why Should I Care?" The Dixons sing it, and the Rochesters sing it in Gospel Bluegrass. And it is such a powerful song. And it's something that it puts you in the power of Jesus right there. And it's a beautiful song, and I'd love to see if you could add that to your repertoire of putting it on your, even today, on the songs that come up, for because it's so powerful. And I've been trying to share that with all the churches that I know, because it's something that has gone into the trash bin of history, and it shouldn't be, because it is one of the glorious, most beautiful songs out there, and strongest. It's better than "Abide by Me" and "Fast Walls, the Evening Tide," and everything else out there. It's just a really strengthener.
We got the bottom of the half-hour break.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Hi, Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one, RAD, consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Oh, my love, my darling, I've hungered for your touch a long, lonely time. And time goes by so slowly, and time can do so much. Are you still mine?
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the last half hour of Gathering Offering. Marcus, are you still there?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. May I ask you a question?
Certainly.
Do you try and keep the Father's dietary laws of what to eat and what not to eat?
Sir, I take the Jesus' laws. It's not what you put into your mouth, but what comes out of your mouth. I am not a Jewish person who has the regulations on eating, and I eat meat and eat pork, chicken, just about anything I can. So, No, I would say no.
Yeah, well, I'm not Jewish at all. And they made up and said, you can eat anything you want. His law tells you unequivocally that you cannot eat certain things. The simplest thing that you can do, you have to do it. I've done it, and I try to stay with it all the time. Now, I'd like to read you just a little something here, if I can, Marcus.
Certainly.
Joshua 10:13. Is it not written in the book of Jasher? Oops. When I read that, I said, where in the heck is the book of Jasher? I got to go find it. Now, 2 Samuel 1:18. Is it not written in the book of Jasher, teach the children the art of the law? Now, if you don't read your Bible thoroughly and say, wait a minute, where's that book of Jasher? And you go hunt that book of Jasher. Of course, it tells you in another place, is it not written in the book of Enoch? You better go hunt that book to find out what the law is. It's called the art of his law, what he says you can do. Then when you go get those two books, you'll find, is it not written in the book of Jubilees? So that's another book you got to go read. And you got to study. And if you're not willing to do any studying, what are you going to do? Well, I just didn't do it the Jewish way. That's the Jebusite way.
I've read the book of Enoch. I've read the book of, there's other books in the Bible. I find them to be...
Book of Enoch, great. Which book of Enoch?
They are not true to the spirit of Christ. They start to follow the ways of the people who've gone astray in the 13th and 14th century. I forget their name at the time I studied them.
Book of Enoch did you read?
I was part of the Essenes for about 5 years.
You don't know which book of Enoch you read, is that correct?
It's problematic.
There's 25 different books of Enoch written by different authors. And the only one that is original is the one by Lawrence.
That's the problem. I mean, how do you know that the original was the original? These are definite issues that we have, that these are books written by individuals which may not have God's command upon them. They may have written text that might touch you, but God's command doesn't necessarily touch you.
I have to with you, the Father's command touches me all over every way, which way but loose. He's the boss. And I do what the boss says. I don't do what somebody else says. And by the way, the Book of Enoch was discovered in the 1700s in Ethiopia. And they traced that history back to when that city was, and that was way before the time of the Only Begotten Son. They then took it back to England.
The Nag Hammadi wasn't discovered until the late 20th century. It was the Nag Hammadi was discovered in about 1980, the Dead Sea Scrolls, which contained the Book of Enoch.
These scrolls have nothing to do. They've been totally proven to be a con job. Total con job. The Dead Sea Scrolls. Total con job. And yes, I've studied that extensively and gone back into the history. Actually had somebody get into the Vatican to get me information there.
That would be beautiful. I'd love to get into the Vatican. Now, I'd be a worm in there.
Me. I'll feel great when I see them, all the people that are in the Vatican, roasting. And maybe I'll look down and say, you deserve it, you pukes. That's my opinion.
Sir, there are a lot of beautiful Catholics that have the Spirit of Christ upon them, and I don't agree with your sentiment in any way. I agree with Baptist. I agree with Presbyterians. I agree with many different peoples, even the LDS, which have the Spirit of Christ upon them. I'm not in any way, shape, or form.
You and I
willing to burn people at the stake because of their religion.
You and I will never agree, because all you want to do is be friends with everybody. I don't want to be friends with everybody. I don't want to have anything to do with Canaanites except to see them get wasted.
That's what Christ asked for us to love your neighbor. I mean, that's a greater thing.
That is to love your neighbor. You don't love a neighbor that is a puke pot. And I've had neighbors that were pots, and you don't associate with them. You associate with good people, good neighbors. And the failure to delineate.
That there's a lot of Catholics and Presbyterians and every other religion out there that are followers of Christ and will be
no,
in his
not.
Kingdom because they are workers of truth.
You defined it. You don't believe in the law. You don't believe in his law. You think that man can make law. And
I don't think that man makes laws for man, definitely. God makes the law for humankind across the centuries and millennium and eternity. And
well,
his law is just
contradicting yourself. Said that, you know, and the human and humankind wasn't even invented initially till the 1500s. If the word human did not exist in the dictionary used by law in this country. You know,
I'd actually like you to go back to Marcus Aurelius and check out the text of Marcus Aurelius, the Roman philosopher of Stoic philosopher for the emperor of 200 AD, where he has indicated humankind as an appropriate response to the to what we are. I'm disputing your context of your argument.
Well, what I'm trying to say is, you just said that, well, Marcus Aurelius in second century, that word human didn't exist. It did not exist at all. It was only ordered to be started using in the 1500s by the Vatican, so that they could get
I'm disputing your argument there.
Go do your homework. You'll find out that what I'm telling you.
That you go into Marcus Aurelius' books, he will say humankind in there.
Right, but
That was made up.
They did not have the word human in existence in any language till the 1500s. You may go do your homework. Thank you. Have a good evening. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, it is very difficult, whether you're 15 years old, you're 50 years old, or you're 80 years old, 90, to find out that what you've been doing all your life is incorrect. That is an issue that affects everybody. I couldn't believe it when I went back to picking up the book in 1991, that I was a coward, because I quit halfway through fourth grade. And that was the first time in my life I had to call myself a coward. And when that hurt me more than anything. I went and I talked with my dad. And I sat down and I said, Dad, I was a coward. You know the heat. He knew the heat that I was taking from second through fourth, halfway through fourth grade. And you saw me become a coward. But now I'm back. Because nobody else wants to admit that they're wrong. They want to say, oh, we've got a great country. We vote. We control our country. We don't control this country. you've seen the election violation. I actually convened a grand jury twice as an individual. I've never went to law school. Okay. But I learned how to convene a grand jury on two different occasions. On one of the occasions, the supervisor of the computers, the supervisor in charge of personnel, and the supervisor in charge of procurement, the ballots, the pencils, all that kind of stuff, they all came to me. And they sat down and, under oath, with tape recordings, the court reporter, pointed out and said, we have committed civil and criminal crimes. And they delineated everything. They went into detail. You know what happened from that? Word got passed down from Washington, D.C., from one of the FBI senior managers. Hey, get away from jury. If you don't, they're going to kill you. They've already issued a contract on his life. Yeah. So anyway, I haven't just picked this up and said, oh, I'll start dancing to a new tune. We have another caller. I didn't catch their name. Who's there? Okay. I didn't hear the first name, but Michigan,
Teresa.
Come on.
Teresa in the UP, Teresa. Michigan.
All right.
Hello.
Hello. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you doing? Okay. I have a question. Are you there?
Yes. Listen.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. Albacore, can you eat albacore? I don't eat pork, or I try to do the best I can at not eating devil's food and stuff, but albacore, tuna fish, can you eat that?
No.
No.
You know,
because it doesn't
have
the scales, right?
That's correct, and I used to love going fishing and catching yellowfin tuna. They're just delicious. I mean, just fabulous. But then I said, oops, can't eat that.
Nope, can't eat that.
You know, and actually I got rid of my ocean boat because I found out everything I like to catch for fun, I couldn't eat. And I could go out and I could catch, you know, the grouper and the snapper and all that kind of stuff. I could fill my boat up in a half hour. That wasn't any fun. You know, and I would give the food away, you know, the extras. But, you know, I said, you know, I'm not doing that much scuba diving anymore, and I'm going to get rid of that boat. And I took a hell of a loss. It didn't matter to me because I wasn't going to go out there and, you know, catch the Mai Mai and stuff like that. Yeah. But, you know, it's very simple. Fins and scales. You got to have that if it comes from the waters. And then on land, it's real simple. Like a pig does not re-chew, in other words, chew the cud. A horse doesn't chew a cud, so you can't eat a horse. Cows chew the cud. You see what I'm saying? Sheep chew the cud. Chickens, they don't chew the cud, but they're in the category. I mean, it gets pretty hairy on the animal, on the chicken or the bird type thing. There's some you can't eat, some you can't eat. And so you have to learn these things, and it's a step.
Yep.
And it will also, when you go into looking like just studying the pork, eating pork, the various diseases and physical problems, chemical problems, mineral problems that causes by eating pork, you wonder why everybody's sick.
I know. I try to explain it to people, not to eat pork. And this really is what happens. They tell me, oh, no, we don't eat pork or nothing. And then they'll talk to them a couple weeks later and say, oh, we just had a ham for dinner. Was it ever good? I mean, what do they think ham is? Cow?
Yeah.
And I go, you just had pork. And then they don't talk to you ever again.
Yes. And that has happened thousands of times in my life in the last 3 decades.
Yeah, and I have a neighbor.
The basic thing that they say, Jerry, we've sat down and gone through this item by item by item, and you're 100% correct. However, if I tell other people this, I won't have any friends. I don't value a friend above the Father in heaven or his only begotten Son. You see what I'm trying to say? I value their analysis of me.
And anyway, also, I have a neighbor who's a Canaanite, too. She's really, very mean to me. I live on a dead-end road, and it's just been awful. But now I just learned that I just have to turn my back and ignore it. You know, there's a lot of Canaanite people. Pardon me?
One thing you can do, Teresa, and I've been saving this for a long time since this day, start keeping the seventh appointed day. That occurs at Thursday at noon till Friday at noon. Start keeping that. Don't do any buying and selling, any manual labor.
On Thursdays?
Thursday at noon till Friday at noon. No manual labor.
Thank you.
No buying and selling.
Okay. How did you know that was my next question?
Well, I could keep right on going on all the things. I mean, you're not even allowed to have any bread that rises. In other words, you've got to have the only bread product you're allowed on Thursday at noon to Friday at noon is a non-rising little circle. You're not allowed to have regular bread or a biscuit, you know, that rises. You're not allowed to have that on Thursday at noon to Friday at noon.
Okay.
And, you know, then you have other times during the feast weeks that you're not allowed to do that. But I'm not able to physically keep the feast anymore. That's my fault, whatever you want to say.
Okay. Gotcha.
Anyway, thank you for the call, Teresa.
You betcha.
It's nice to hear somebody that actually wants to listen to the Father. You don't have to listen to me. I don't care about anybody listening to me. I only care if they listen to the Father and his only begotten Son. That's all I care about. Anyway, thank you so much, Teresa, for calling
in. I will. Goodbye.
All right. Have a great day. Ladies and gentlemen, it's always a shock to find out that you've been putting your pants on backwards all your life. I mean, when you're wearing blue jeans and you're used to reaching around the back to zip it up, and somebody says, "Nah, that's not the way you're supposed to wear blue jeans. You're supposed to have that zipper in the front." And then people say, "Well, I see girls and they have a pair of slacks on and there's a zipper in the back." Excuse me, I'm not a girl. And I'm not sure why a girl would have a zipper in the back. Matter of fact, I'm pretty dadgum sure that we're not even supposed to have zippers. I don't read it. I've never seen anywhere in any of the books where somebody walks up to digging a hole in the ground and pulls their zipper down. We're not supposed to have zippers. We're supposed to have a different type of wardrobe. And zippers are not anywhere found and says, use your zippers correctly. So I'm not going to get into, you know, that type of stuff except to say, there's all kinds of things that we are using right now that we shouldn't be using. But we still have to stay around for the big battle. And the big battle is what I'm looking for. Now, if I don't get to be on first string, and all I get second string, oh, I'm going to be happy. First string is the bridesmaid. Second string is, the first string is the bride. Second string is the bridesmaid. Third string are the attendees to the marriage. Well, if I can't get in Category 1 or Category 2, I want to be in Category 3. Because those are the three categories that get to go to heaven this trip. That's what it's all about. And it is the greatest time that we have experienced in the last 25,000 years. And I want to make the team. If I'm not first string or not second string, I want to be third string. I want on the team. I don't read anything about where a water boy with a towel comes out there and, you know, gives the players some water and a towel. So I'm not going to claim that I want to be a water boy. But I want on the team. I want people that listen to me to want it so bad that they're they just itch all the time. And they get prepared. They get their body in shape. They get their mind in shape. If your mind is not in shape, your body will not get in shape. That I'll guarantee you. I've done that way before 1991. And yes, your head has to get straight, and then you can get your body in shape. And I know what it is to have to get your body straight. And it's not a lot of fun. But you know what is a lot of fun? Is when you get your mind and your body in shape, and you go out and you win. And the only people I want to talk to are winners, not people that refuse to study any history. They just repeat what the puke box from the Vatican said. The Vatican invented every form of Christianity. And I'm from a family that on my mother's side, my grandma and my grandpa never saw each other without clothes. They never ever slept in the same bed. They had twin beds. They always were wearing pajamas, and to get up to go from the bedroom to the bathroom, they put a robe on, even though they had pajamas on. You might say very, very strong on their religious beliefs. Okay? Now, that would be something for somebody to look up. How many times does the word religion or religious occur in the King James Bible? I'm not going to tell you. You tell me next week how many times religion and religious occurs. And everybody wants to fall back. Well, the religion says do this. My preacher said it's religious to do this. Wow. What about teach the children the art of the law, being the father's law? That's what I want to learn more about. I want to learn how to communicate to people better, to let them know, yeah, we're in the minority, but by Jiminy, this is the greatest thing there is. There's nothing, nothing on this planet that I want more than to make it back and to be in that minority group. That's what I want. And I want the people that think that way. And I want them to reach out and find a neighbor, a relative, somebody. They have to start reaching out. I can only reach out so much. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Have a great evening.
Not stick us and bleed us, and take all our money and send it abroad. We must take America back. We need prayer in the schools and more things made in USA. It's the least we can do for the red, white, and blue. We must take America back.
I'm Peter Serafin with today's Liberty Minute. The U.S. Constitution is remarkable in many ways. In about 4,500 words on four pages of parchment, 55 men outlined a new form of government, the three branches, the powers of each, the people who will hold office, how they become office holders, and so much more. 22 of those men, or 40%, were lawyers. They chose not to obfuscate the document with legalese and pages of clauses and conditions. They chose to write a document in language simple enough that we, the people, can read it and understand it. That was probably the last time a lawyer ever wrote anything so simple. It was definitely the last time our federal government wrote anything with the understanding of we, the people, in mind. Everything that comes out of Washington, D.C. today is so convoluted that even the original intent is lost. Until tomorrow, civis pacem, parabellum.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.